Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? As you can imagine, this show was heavily focused on Kevin Rose's project Moonbirds from the Proof Collective. It's captured the attention of the NFT space over the weekend and actually broke records for single day volume and 48 hour volume. We go in depth into the project, but also talk about what other things to look out for in the coming weeks in the NFT space. Is this the start of a bull run that is fueled by new liquidity coming into the market from Moonbirds? We even talk to a doctor and I ask him some pretty funny questions about what it's like to be a doctor before diving into more NFT chatter. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up on the web with the nifty.com/FTX or on mobile with the code THENIFTY. Thanks so much. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. Monday morning. This is the NFT Morning Moonbirds show. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Really excited to get into it and talk about Moonbirds exclusively. No, I'm just kidding. But what a weekend it was for anybody that bought Moonbirds. I see our very own Captain Kix is sporting one as his PFP right now. I've also let my pal K Dean on stage, but I don't know if he accidentally requested to speak and he didn't realize he was going to be coming to the stage. So we'll have to find that out. But to my wonderful co-host, Nifty Nick specifically, what a morning, man. Are you feeling any Moonbirds FOMO?
Dude, fuck that project. Yeah, this is just, you know, this is just fake, man. This is, I don't know what to say about this. This is unacceptable. You know, what was I going to do yesterday? Like, was I going to sell a mute? You called me when it was at like 13 ETH or something like that. And I'd seen it at a lower price earlier. But I'm like, am I going to sell a mutant, technically pay the taxes on those gains, and then go buy a Moonbird? It's so crazy. Like, it's gone up very fast. I mean, it's not exactly surprising given their community and the network that they have of deep-pocketed individuals and the fact that a lot of money has been sitting on the sidelines. So it's not like exactly surprising to see, but it's still like, I just don't know what my move is. And when you called and asked, I was like, I don't buy things at this price. I don't buy things for 13 ETH. Like, that's just not, that's not my move. Because that caught it for, that's basically $40,000. I don't think I've ever bought anything at that price. That's usually where I'm selling. Like, I'm selling there and above. So I don't know. It's difficult to jump in. I mean, even 80th maybe would have been worth it. We've seen, what was the VC led? I'm blanking on the project, but like months ago, I had multiple investors text me, email me, DM me to be like, yo, are you in such and such project and why didn't you let me know about it? And then it like ran up and it since has just gone down.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm blanking on the name of it, but it's not like Kaiju Kings, but it was around that time. Anyways, it doesn't matter what the name of the project is, but the bottom line is it went up, it went down. And I think it's hard to sustain these sort of pumps, but we've never seen something like this with this just insane level of secondary volume. I mean, it's approaching mutant level. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Someone DM me and said crypto runners. I don't know that that's the one that it was. Oh no. K Dean messaged me. But whatever it was, like the problem is for like VCs and some of these other people, when this is like their only project that they have exposure to, it's difficult looking at that and being like, damn, I have like, let's say this goes up to 30th or something like that. And they're like, I have $100,000 in this thing. They're not familiar with the space. It's harder. That said, there's a lot more diamond-handed people in the space now when you have mutants, which has 20,000 of them hovering at a 28 ETH floor. Then, you know, clearly there's a large enough ecosystem of people that are willing to hold assets at that price. So, and from that standpoint, it kind of makes sense then that this moves up to that level because of the network effects. So, I don't know. I kind of wish I had one, but I wasn't about to take and expand my NFT bag at this point, like, and throw in more money. I'd instead reallocate, and that's just going to be a tax event. So I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the move was to reallocate, and that's what everybody in the NFT space did. You know, it was done in plain sight. Everybody said, you know, I'm getting ready for Moonbirds. I'm going to have liquidity ready for Moonbirds. And that, you know, turned out to absolutely be the move. The thing with you and me, Nick, is...
Let's say you made 2x right now, but you just paid 50% tax on the money that you had. So essentially, you needed to sell 16 ETH worth of NFTs to buy in at 8 ETH. Unless you minted.
I'm assuming everybody's in your situation.
Well, yeah, or you're just spectacularly wealthy. But
for some people, they may already have liquid on the table. You know what I mean? They may have available.
I see what you're saying.
You know, of course there are people like that, Kix, but I do think that most people got liquidity ready because I know who's in the NFT space and a ton of people. Yeah, like a ton of people, you know, were selling stuff for this. That's the big liquidity event. But I actually think that these are going to keep running. I think that these flipping mutants is a foregone conclusion. I think that people are so excited to buy into something that has substance behind it. And I almost can kind of feel that it's causing people to reframe the way that they look at other NFT projects. And I think people that hold other NFT projects that are maybe only PFP projects are going to now look at them and say, okay, well, what else are you? Like, what is the bedrock of this project? It can't be just the art, right? So I think that that's going to happen. You know, Nick,
yeah, we're not here just to, you know, get past mutants. We're gonna get passed by the end of this week, and then next site's Punks probably by the end of the month, and then we'll take Bored Ape Yacht Club down by June.
How many did you buy, Kix?
I just bought one.
Really?
Yeah.
It's expensive. Oh, you didn't buy 10 at $50,000?
No.
That's fucking weird. What a loser.
I expected more from Captain Kix. I'm surprised to hear that he only bought one. But
I was gone. But if I was actually around on Saturday, I probably would have bought more. But I was gone until like 9 p.m. And so by the time I got to my computer, the floor price was already like 11.4.
What did you get in at? 8?
No, I got in at 12.
Okay. Wait, so then you got in at 12 and the floor went down and you were like...
No, the floor was like at 11.4, but it was like super thin and I wanted a helmet.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I bought it at 12. What I'm saying is that like if I was around on Saturday and I could have gotten in at 8, I probably would have bought in like 3 or 4 of them. But like I felt like I was already buying like 50% up on the same day. So I was like, oh, I'll buy one now and I'll wake up tomorrow and maybe I'll be able to like buy another one at 10.
Can we address one part of this project, which is like the glaring thing here?
What?
At least in my opinion.
Sure.
Well, actually, I'm wondering, what do you think the glaring issue is with this project?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a glaring issue. I think that...
question. I don't need to play puzzles, but riddles here. The main point is, dude, what's up with this art? Like it's cool. It's cool looking, but like it also is cheap. So it makes me wonder, like, what the hell am I thinking? Like most of the artists that I have, that I've been having conversations with about our project are all like super high end, really involved, all this other stuff. And I even think of like, Bored Apes just having a higher level of effort associated with the design. I spoke with someone the other day who was like, I don't even like the way that the apes look. And I'm like, yeah, okay, to each their own. But the bottom line is it feels like a way lower level of effort. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it is objectively lower effort in the sense that it's pixelated art. But I think that, you know, it also speaks to the fact that the project is not about the art at all. The project is about, you know, the underlying utility and access.
It's a utility pass, bro. Yeah, but the art is free.
But it is important because I think the whole point was like it is a utility pass, right? But instead of being VSP or doing the thing where there's just like a pool suites card, it clearly helped spread on Twitter, I think, that people can show them, right? We were still, even though I think, PO, you're 1,000% right, we're into, again, it's faux utility stage. Right.
No, I didn't say it was fake utility. I think it's real utility. And I understand what you're saying, Jesse. The first proof pass, that's the Vayner Sports card. And then this is the PFP to spread the word.
Yeah, and it's, that doesn't do much. It was going to do great either way. But I think it helped that, you know, it helps a tiny bit that everybody's on Twitter. It obviously owned the entire weekend on Twitter and on social media. And I think, you know, people get to do, you know, but kicks it, you know, you put it on there for a minute. I think it probably helped maybe 20-25% that people had the PFP. I don't think the actual art doesn't really matter, but we're still doing this thing where we're transitioning. Like we're gluing the two things together, the PFP now to the utility. I mean, the fake utility.
Yeah. For me, the thing that like I, when I was ideally, if I would have loved to have gotten in like at 8 or 10, but the reason why I was like fine buying at 12, and I really should have bought multiple. I actually, one of my like crypto buddies like hit me up and he's like, is this going to retrace to 10? I was like, yeah, I could do that. Or I could just straight turbo mode to 20, which is what it did. It's the fact that like the volume was just like absolutely unprecedented, like something never seen before. I think it did what, 50,000 ETH in 24 hours?
Yeah,
in secondary volume.
Completely like, unprecedented.
Yeah, it, what it reminded me of was in August when this guy, I forget his name, he's like he has a like number name on Twitter, swept like 100 punks at like 20 ETH, and then Three Arrow Capital, their NFT arm, Starry Night or whatever, like swept another 100.
Starry Night is Vincent Van Doe's.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe it was Vincent Van Doe or his Three. I think it was Three Arrows Capital, but they also swept like another 100, and it made punks just go on this absolutely insane volume run where punks went from like 20 ETH to over 100 ETH in like 3 weeks.
Yep.
And I don't know if you remember, but literally Visa bought a punk at like 75 or 80 ETH. And so I got like similar vibes to that, which means multiple things to me. Like one is that, definitely this, unlike a lot of other drops recently, this brought in a lot of new liquidity. A lot of new people that don't buy NFTs that often came in and bought these, even on secondary at high prices. And yeah, part of it may have just been like fun, but like it really reminds me of like the punks run, where it's not like this is going to retrace back to 10. It's just like everybody wants this thing all at once. I think the most interesting thing is that if new money is coming in and buying these things for 10, 15, 20 ETH, and they're buying it from people that do trade NFTs a lot, and maybe they got it in the raffle at 2.5, or maybe they bought it on secondary from 9 to 11, but either way, there's a lot of NFT traders or active investors that are sitting on huge liquidity wins. So you have to think that, especially if this thing keeps running, it's going to generate so much liquidity for the NFT market that you would expect a lot of movement across the board, which would be great.
Is there any evidence, though, that there's new money? It looks like it's DZ and you and the same old people. And P, I'm curious also what the actual utility is. I know it's an access pass, which is what every fake utility is now, but what do we get from owning this?
We'll talk about it in a second. Real quick, I want to throw to Signal because we haven't done the weather report yet, and she is not going to be available the whole show. Signal, good morning. Can you hit us with that weather?
Sure will. Just quickly before the weather. So I decided on Sunday I won't be on Twitter because I don't want to look at the owls. I go to my friend's house. I walk into the house. Then Matt has an owl. Literally an owl on it, and then about a couple of hours later I'm watching the TV, an Apple advert, an owl is like the main character, and then I go to bed and literally that night I've never heard an owl before, and it's just like tweet to woo, you lost money, tweet to woo, you lost money. I've never heard so many owls in my life. But anyway, on to the Monday the 18th weather report. Weekend volume hit a high of 177 million. What a weekend. If you weren't at your computer on Saturday, you really missed the halftime Super Bowl show of NFTs. On the blue chips, Apes, Mutants, Beans and Clonex are all holding steady, but we did see some stronger sell-offs, including Kennel Dogs, Cool Cats and World Women. Moonbirds, as we're discussing, had the highest 30-day volume of any collection of all time, beating Azuki and Apes. Proof is at a new all-time high of 100th ETH and is not far from flipping Apes. Coolcout's floor, that imploded down to 5 ETH after FUD and various announcements around their royalties increasing from 2.5% to 5%. Murakami flower seeds are down, but check your emails because the public raffle winners were announced and can now mint the Murakami flowers. And another big winner this weekend that went under the radar, the Akutar mint passes are having an up-only moment. That floor's at 3 ETH and the rares are selling for over 20 ETH. On the coins, BTC and ETH are down. Ape is holding 11. And on the OpenSea stats, well, this weekend we had 177 million in volume. The action we're seeing now is in fact very similar to the weekend volume we had when Azuki broke the 30th floor. We've had a peak high, then a slight retrace. And today we're still looking healthy. Volume is over 70 million. And if we keep this momentum, we'll be back over 100 today. The 24-hour forecast is sunny across the NFT markets. Back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Signal. And that was wonderful. Back to Moonbird. So I let some Moonbirds on stage here.
Get them out of here.
We're going to have an objective conversation about this here. Vicky, I just let you on stage too. Yeah, Vicky's an OG ape holder, and there were some ape holders that went in on Moonbirds. There were also some ape holders that were not interested. Vicky, I'm assuming that since you're still sporting the ape, you did not buy a Moonbird. Is that right?
Correct. I bought a lobster. In fact, I bought several lobsters instead.
I know that one, the lobster. Hey, probably decent call. He's a known artist. What do you make of, what's going on with the Moonbirds right now?
I just think it's absolutely crazy. And it's funny because when people keep saying things like, oh, NFTs are dead, or there's the same people in the community and, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And then time and time again, it's just like we're all kind of pretty much proved wrong. I mean, that amount of volume coming in. But I guess it's just going to be really interesting moving forward to see how the money stays, if it stays in our ecosystem or if it just kind of dissipates. And the floor, I don't think the floor is going to go back down. I think it's going to kind of stick where it is. But congratulations to all those who bought owls.
Yeah, I also was kind of having a little bit of hopium once I saw it go to like 12, 13, 14 ETH. And I was like, yeah, maybe it'll go back to 10. But I quickly knew it wasn't going to. Yeah.
So would you buy it here at 20 ETH? Like, should I sell my ape coin, more ape coin, and just get a Moonbird?
Yeah, you should. When have you seen Wappy with a new profile pic? Hello, Wappy. Wappy is actually five-star general in the Moonbird Space Force. He's actually been leading a lot of us for many years now. So just want to see what our supreme leader has to say.
Hoot, hoot.
thank you for that advice.
So real quick, and this is what I was kind of talking about before. Wappy's one of the people that was prepared and really understood the magnitude of the Moonbird drop going into Saturday and was ready to deploy a good amount of ETH right there at 8 ETH. I want to say, though, that Wappy does this full time. For people like me and Nick, this is kind of my way of justifying it for myself, is like, look, the Nifty community, the holders of our NFT, they don't benefit from me thinking about my personal portfolio for hours every single day, right? So I'm already over here figuring out.
So why do you do that then?
I don't. I was over here having to make decisions about the Akutars and if I let any go and, stuff like that, right? I didn't have the mental capacity to do the stuff that we have to do for the business and also, move things around portfolio management style to get enough ETH to be able to ape into Moonbirds right there on the spot. Couldn't do it. But someone that's full-time like Wappy, he's ready to rock and roll, And Nick, it sounded like you were going to say something.
I mean, I still should have done it. I wasn't at my computer. That was the biggest thing. And I think Captain Kick said the exact same thing. I mean, in hindsight, I probably could have sold some ape coin, basically bought two or three of those Moonbirds at eight to 10 ETH, and then sold one and bought back some ape coin, and I'd be in like the perfect position at that point in time. So now I'd be just sitting there with a couple Moonbirds and my ape coin.
But Kevin Rose, you're the supreme leader. All hail Kevin Rose.
It was strange that it was on. It was like Passover, Easter. It's got a lot of attention. Considering it's incredible that it got so much volume when, you think most people were like, all right, you know, probably take a little bit off. But I mean, I agree with Vicky that, I mean, this is just evidence again, like, we don't have a lot of history here. So you have to continue to revisit your priors and never assume like precedent is like the ultimate, you know, basis for judging things. Because I went in this thinking, okay, a derivative is normally 10 to 20%, right? And a good project is 20%, 25%, like Newton's, Dead Fellas, it's about, you know, same. Some other projects, it's 10% for a derivative. So I'm like, okay, but that means between 9 and 18 ETH, right? Assuming it was proof was 90. But then I'm like, wait a minute, but it's 10 times the supply, not twice the supply, like, or two, three times like normal. So I'm like, maybe that means it's closer to 7 or 6. But then people were offering 7 ETH the day before. Like, literally, people were on Twitter like, I will buy all your Moonbirds for 7. So I'm like, well, I'm definitely not selling for less than 7 tomorrow, because this means it's at least 8, 9, 10. And so I don't think anybody saw it going from 12 to 20. But again, it's just evidence that, like, you can't always – there's not enough history here. You always have – sometimes you have to zag when people are zigging, and you have to revisit kind of what the – like I said, we're in faux utility phase. So when you're in faux utility phase and all these other passes are going up, pool suite, this hit the perfect moment. It's like a legitimate, credible guy in the middle of fake utility. And he's like, or let's just say potential utility. And it's like, this is the guy that this guy has the most probably credibility to deliver on potential utility. Right. So it went up based, I think, on that.
But you realize the pressure, Jesse, the pressure that Philip Colbert, the artist that's like the godson of Andy Warhol, I do have to inform him that obviously the pressure he has that, like, obviously I chose lobsters rather than moonbirds. So
I'm in on lobsters. I actually made a mistake. This is how dumb my jokes are. I put a joke in on lobsters, which was I just wrote in the Discord, consider the lobsters, which is an obscure reference to a David Foster Wallace short story, like a freaking idiot. It was one of my jokes, my jokes with an audience of zero. It was literally for myself. And then people were like, what do you know about the lobsters? What do you know about the lobsters? I'm like, oh shit, I have to explain my stupid joke now so people don't buy.
But you're going to realize, Jesse, I've already realized a lot of the people that are in the lobsters, because of obviously him being Scottish, and there's a lot of UK people in the Discord. So I already realized quite quickly yesterday that some of the jokes that we're putting in, you can tell who's British and who's American, which is hilarious for me, because I can just tell that obviously somebody will say something and then everyone goes, well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Kix.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think what Jesse said was spot on, which is that, like, when you're in the kind of market that we're in, like, there's like sample sizes of like 1 or 2 that you can compare things to. Like, you have to be like very nimble and like on your feet. Like when I got home, they were at like 9.5, and I like ate some food and I checked back and they were like at 11. And I was like, am I going to be buying the top here? But then you just look at the sheer amount of volume. Signal mentioned it in the morning report, but like Moonbirds is already at is 16th on OpenSea for like all time volume 2 days in. You know what I mean? So
would you buy here?
Probably in a month they'll be top 10, if not earlier. I don't know if I'd buy here, but I'm not selling here.
Nick, I mean, look, I don't want
anyone
to stress out about
here.
This for 2 weeks.
I'm trying to figure out if I should FOMO into this thing. This is fucking
feels like it has to retrace to 16 or something next week.
I don't know. That makes me bullish now that I should buy it.
Nick, put all your energy into the business, please. I don't need you waffling on.
It's one trade. It's one trade. Thank you. And actually, I am right now because I'm discussing it on this show. If anybody else would like to comment on it, though, I'd really love to hear.
Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly do think that there is a lot of new money and like a lot of like diamond hands in on this thing that and I'll let Wappy speak next. I'm sure he has some perspective on this, but I really don't think this is going to be something that just like fades away or disappears. Like, just to give you a perspective, like someone that like invested in Crypto Raiders and is like super into the crypto space, but doesn't do that much with NFTs, like hit me up on Saturday night and was like, should I buy in right now? And was like, I didn't know who Kevin Rose was. And then like did my research and like really feel like I should get in. Like basically meaning that like people that like I normally don't talk to about NFTs that are like whales financially were like hitting me up asking me about it. So I think that this could be one of those breakaway projects potentially. Wappy, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with all that. And I think Seekers, who just got on stage, he can say something because he and I were talking last night and he picked up another one. But he was telling me the vibes that he kind of like picked up on that made him want to pick up another one. But I mean, I started doing my research. Like I've heard of Kevin Rose before, but I have not been like a huge Kevin Rose follower like my entire life. So I started doing my research like a month ago, and I've been watching videos and then looking at like who the rest of that team is. And that's a successful group of like entrepreneurs who have shipped product, who have built in the tech space before, who are like actively trading like crypto. So they're in the space, and this is one of those no-brainer ones. So I was ready and liquid. And what I did better that I think a lot of people kind of slept on was I didn't know that the proof mint was starting an hour before the whitelist mint. So I sat there and got a pulse on what volume was like before minting even started. And so the two birds I got were under 7 ETH before I paid gas. So I ended up getting two for a total cost base of like 15. And then somebody that I know who I share a lot of like alpha with, they didn't have enough money, but they want a whitelist. So I paid for their full Moonbird, and I have a 50-50 split of theirs as well. So I have 17.5 into this, and I have 2.5 birds. I'm holding. Damn. Nick, my advice to you is this isn't going to dip that much, because once nesting starts, supply is going to get off the market even more.
So you would buy in here?
Yeah, Nick, I already linked you to one. It's a flaming head one. It's at a very affordable price of $63,000 and
that seems like a reasonable price. And as I'm sitting here just thinking through this, I'm like, yeah, that seems like a very good purchase decision.
If you buy it, I just don't want it to be, if it goes down, I don't want us to be talking about it for like 4 weeks in our meetings for the business and stuff like that. So if you buy it, you got
to
live with it.
No, that's what we're look. Hey, you got that to look forward to, PO. All I'm going to do is discuss how I lost $30,000.
If it goes down, just like buy another one.
Spoken. Like, if you spend your pocket money, don't come crying to him if it goes wrong, okay?
What's the secret said? Secret says if you buy one now and it goes down to 15 ETH, just buy another one.
That's the type of game we're playing here. You just buy all the way down to zero.
Exactly. That's the way. That's the way. but yeah, I was really, I said to Wappy when I bought the first one, like, he kind of FOMO'd me in. I gave him all the credit. I was like, I should have listened to you yesterday when they were trading around 8, 9. And I was like, damn, you got in at 7. I should have. How do you get in at 7? I don't even know how you do that. You have to be Wappy, I guess. But so anyways, it's at 13 when I bought my first one. And I'm thinking, I need a captain's hat. You know, Captain Kicks, shout out. I love the captain hats too. So it goes, there's no signs of it slowing down. So I'm like, I better pull the trigger. So that was like the best decision, because immediately the captain's hat's floor was at like 25 at one point yesterday. So I was like, okay, 15 ETH for that. That's nice. I even said to Wappy, should I sell a mutant? And he said, now that's a little risky to wait for the mutants to get passed by the Moonbirds like next week, like you said, when nesting takes in. Just all the research points to this could very easily moonshot. And my thought with the way we saw Azuki double in price in a matter of seconds, I saw this just have to happen too.
Well, the other thing you told me is that this, like, you own a couple Bored Apes, I think, for your, like, you and your wife, and you got those pretty early. You said that, like, what you were seeing here, this gave you similar vibes to what you saw early on in that project.
Oh, definitely, because I even said to my wife, like, I haven't felt this good about a purchase since buying my apes. And I didn't get in that early. I got in at 7 and 8 for my mutant, or my apes. And I had said to her that day, man, I should buy a third. Give me the wedding money. Let me buy a third. And she said no. And
I am the wedding money, bro.
Yeah. We had just gotten married and we had like a little bit of wedding money, you know. That I was like, give me whatever we have in wedding money and I'll buy a third ape. But now I tell her, hey, look at that third ape would have been your brand new house. But now we just have some JPEGs instead. So that's the punishment she must go through. But now the Moonbirds are making me feel good again.
Nick, this is your buy signal, man.
The only distinction is, I didn't have the vibe on apes at 22 ETH. You had the vibe on apes at like point. Well, for me,
I bought an ape at 38 ETH and sold it for 86. I feel like I could see these things going to like 40.
All right, before we fully persuade Nick to buy in, I'm inviting I'm inviting NFT Sniperbot to the stage because I'm interested in hearing what he thinks about this, because he bought into Bored Ape Yacht Club, he bought into V Friends, he bought into CryptoPunks, and I know he's got a bankroll. I'm wondering if he bought these and what he thinks of them. But in the meantime, we got some moonbirds on stage. We're flocking right now. And BirdAlert.eth has been patiently waiting with his hand raised. What's going on, BirdAlert?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about the birds.
Yeah. So I just have a couple things I just want to add, just so everyone kind of knows the full details. But so the reason for the simple art is that it's going 100% on chain in the next like month or so. So the team's going to be putting it, 100% on chain. So it'll be immutable. The metadata can never be changed. And there's only a few projects that are like that. So that's kind of the reason why they went with like a simple pixelated art. And what else was I going to say?
Come on,
you're
man.
You're saying they're putting the full thing. Wait, so they're migrating it off of IPFS and actually putting it in the code?
Yes, it's going to be 100% on chain.
How do you do that at like after the fact? Is this one of those like admin managed contracts?
The only other blue chip project that did that is Punk. So we're going to the Punk's floor.
Okay, I appreciate that. No, but in all sincerity, do you know technically like how they're doing that? Because I'm not
with
a fan 70 of 70
million, you can do anything, Nick.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
No, you can't. You can't.
Oh, you can't.
No one cares about on-chain. Like, we just pretend to care about being on-chain, but no one actually cares.
Well, people cared about the punks being on-chain, but...
Yeah, now the floor is, like, keeps dropping. It's like people are selling punks to buy moonbirds.
Okay, well, anyways, I just wanted to share that. And then they're also so in terms of utility, once this nesting starts, the longer that you nest your moonbird, the higher level rank moonbird nest you're going to have. And that will come with airdrops. They're going to do trait-specific airdrops where moonbirds with the Grails trait or the Chrome Squiggle are going to get, they've hinted that you're probably going to get let's say an Art Blocks airdrop for the moonbirds that have this. So they're just doing trait specific airdrops for nesting. And then you're also going to get first look at the Project High Rise metaverse that they're building.
Ooh, and that's the thing is we're already a blue chip. So I think we'll probably do our companion drop pretty soon here. I say 5 ETH. We'll probably do that next week or something. Get some more people into the community.
Hey, get the hell out of here.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay, so I did bring Sniperbot on stage. Sniper, you know the rules, no shilling, but I am genuinely curious to hear what you think of this because, again, you bought Punks, you bought Apes, you bought V-Friends, and you have a bankroll. Did you buy Moonbirds?
I did not buy Moonbirds. I was a little busy this week. I tried to do the raffle, the right way. I didn't get the raffle, and then my friend told me that he got like 5 raffles and used like 40 accounts or whatever. So I'm just sitting here with tons of FOMO. I'm like Nick staring at it. Do I buy one? Do I not buy one? And I don't know. I just can't bring myself to do it at these prices. So, maybe I'm hoping it goes down a little bit, but I'm watching from the sidelines, very upset. That's all.
And I'm not pocket watching, but I know that you have a little bit of a bankroll that you can play with.
You're pocket watching.
but you also run a project. Going into this, like, did you do any preparation for the Moonbirds thing? It sounds like probably not, right?
No. I found out from my friend that shares all the alpha. He told me after the fact. He's like, "Oh, you didn't just send 2.5 ETH to 100 wallets. You would have had as many Moonbirds as you wanted." And I it just kills me. I was like, I can't believe I missed this trade. So I'm watching
the
sidelines, and I don't really understand
those.
Honestly, I don't understand. I'm going to say this, and just my honest thought is like Kevin Rose, huge name in tech. He's with Dig and everything. But I was like kind of confused, like how it relates to Web3. I like just don't get that connection. But I guess everybody else does. So I'm the guy on the outside.
Fair enough. Jesse, you've been patiently waiting with your hand raised. What's going on?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the interesting part, right? Because we have, first of all, I love the nesting. That's a great, I love brand and I love aesthetics. So like to me, the nesting is a great term, but it is important to remember that no project has ever delivered utility and nobody is building anything and they can't be building anything. There's two things you can do. You can build a media property like Roboto said they were going to do. No one's going to do a TV show. You can make sweatshirts, but again, you're just white labeling, so you haven't done anything there. Or you can quote unquote deliver value like Azuki's did, which is we're going to give you more NFTs, and that's literally a Ponzi scheme, right? That's literally like before Web3, we would just say, okay, if you keep buying these, you know, Tupperware and you sell them to somebody else, then you'll get some of their Tupperware. Like, it's literally a Ponzi scheme. So no one, except for quote unquote alpha groups, which are now the new thing, these are all just access passes to an insider club, but we just don't know what's in, we don't know what's inside the club.
Well, I can tell you because I now own one of them, so I'll go check it out.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Nifty Nick, my God, that was crazy, man. Holy shit! Oh my God! Holy shit!
Are you serious?
This is crazy. This is
yeah. Let's just see what happens, dude. This is a
fucking nuts.
Ballsy
holy
bet ever.
Shit! What did you sell? What was it? Was it ape coin? What was it?
Yeah, I traded some ape coin.
So
if
it's
I'm
funny.
Whopping your kicks, I'm flooring my my moonbird right now. The top is in.
I mean, I feel like I may lose 10 ETH here, but I'm like, let's fucking go. Let's play the game.
This is Nick. This is within your wheelhouse, right? You got the Gary V, whatever the restaurant thing. You will really stick with like a blue chip founder and then go with it. So I'm not surprised about that. I guess to the same point. So make your case. Because what everybody's saying is, okay, we looked into Kevin Rose, which means we just Googled him or watched some YouTube videos. And then
I already know him.
You know him, but like, what's the difference? But we've also seen Staples had a name, hasn't really worked. We had the guy all the way back, the Impact founder, Impact Theory, that didn't work. So Kevin Rose, again, he's not Web3 native. He's clearly connected with the venture capital world, financial success. Make your
I'm
case
pretty
for
sure
Kevin Rose.
Kevin Rose. Bought punks in like January. I'm pretty sure he bought Bitcoin in like 2012. So
why is Kevin Rose different than say someone else?
I'm not investing in Kevin Rose. So that's not my trade here. I want to be clear here. I'm not investing in either of the founders of this business. Look, there's a lot of hype. We just sat here and we're experiencing it. And I just feel like with the nesting and everything else, which is something that even Bored Apes has not, they haven't done anything like that. I think that there's going to be a reduced amount of supply in the market, and you have a network of absolute diamond handers here. And yeah, I mean, I could, like Captain Kick said, I could see going to 30, 40 ETH, something like that. And
Nick, can we get a hoot from you?
well, I was going to say, Nick, what you don't realize
I'm still
is
an ape. I haven't changed my PFP. I'm standing strong. With this, let's be clear. I just bought this because Bored Ape Yacht Club airdropped me a shit ton of money, basically. And so now I'm making a trade based on this. This is either going to be wildly successful or I end up losing like 10 ETH here. But I don't see it going down below that. And also when you see something like Cool Cat's Floor dropping and some of these others, I just feel like it's a migration toward high quality.
Sorry to cut you off. Yeah, I think it's, I don't know about, when I think of diamond hands, I think somebody that's like poor, that's like holding on to this, but I do think we need to consider the demographics of the people that own them. I think it's the same thing with apes, which is like Jimmy Fallon's never going to sell his ape because he wouldn't even know how to anyway. So there's almost never any sell pressure. And I do think if you consider the demographic of the people that bought, forget diamond handing, they just might forget about it. Like, I just think there's going to be very few people that are like dying to sell this.
This is definitely going to go back down to like 15, though. Like, don't get me wrong here. So, like, I definitely bought at the top of this run, but
Many people are wanting to, people have been wanting to buy the dip, you know, since it was at 8 ETH or, you know, 10 ETH? Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of buyers lining up if this thing drops to 15.
I'm not going to lie. I like the trade, especially because it was the airdropped ape coin. I actually went when the Moonbirds were already at 13 or 14 ETH. I was just like looking at all my stuff. It was Saturday night and I was just trying to figure out, is there anything I can do right now that isn't that painful to be able to come up with the liquidity? I didn't even realize I had $12,000 of ape coin. I was like, holy shit, it's worth that much. Like, I just didn't realize I had that much. I wish I had noticed that before when they were at 8 ETH, because that would have definitely helped. That would have put me in the right direction. But I like the trade of trading the ape coin for this, even at 21, because I also I'm on the same page as Nick. I feel like it's going to be good. Vicky, you have your hand raised.
Let's go on. I just bought the top. So shout out to everybody in the Moonbird community. I just want y'all to know that this was the time to sell in the short term. And that's when I got in. Holler at your boy.
Nick, congratulations on your owl. I've messaged Ryan Carson to say that he can look forward to seeing you changing your PFP, which is the
ain't
moment
happening.
We've been waiting for. And as it's Mutant Monday, we've just also hit a floor of 28 ETH.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not trading my Mutant for one of these things. I'm just not. Even though I think that these things are going to flip the Mutant, I don't want to not have a Mutant. And I don't want the taxable event of 26 Ethereum profit.
Well, yeah. And how are you going to continue on a daily basis without owning a Moonbird? I'm sort of wondering about that component here.
I'm going to work hard on our business, buddy, so that we can buy all the Moonbirds someday. I got Giles on stage, and Giles hit me up in the portal chat and said that he's got an interesting little story about Moonbirds. What's going on, Giles?
Hi, it's Giles, by the way. Can you hear me?
Giles, we can hear you, buddy.
Cool. So basically, I've been at work. I work at a hedge fund, one of the biggest ones in Europe, and I'm an analyst there. And I've been talking about this to my boss all week. And
your boss's name is? I'm just messing with you.
I've been telling him all week that he needs to, any he can buy under 8 Ethereum is what he should be going for. So he's scooped about 5 under 7 and 5 under 8. And I'm wondering, what's the play now? Because there's a lot of them, they're all floor. What do you guys think the play is from here? Because I honestly didn't expect it to go up this much.
I mean, he's got it for a fantastic cost basis. And if he's a hedge fund manager, then he doesn't want to realize short-term capital gains for no reason. I would go with the Wappy school of thought, which is that once the nesting starts, that's when things start to get interesting. For a play like this, you got to give it some time to realize, something has to happen. And I mean, right now, coincidentally, LookLab's game keys decided that they wanted to run. And this is something we've been talking about on the show for months. People in the Discord get mad when I bring it up. They're like, you're pumping your own bags. No one gives a shit about LookLab's game keys. And all of a sudden now they're at 0.42 ETH floor with under 160 listed. And we're coming up on 420 and it's going to probably continue to cook. It just takes time for the good stuff to kind of come to fruition. And we've seen it with a ton of different stuff. We've seen it with Apes. We've seen it with, V Friends. So I would just say that your boss is in amazing shape with the prices that he got in at.
Yeah, I'll give them till Wednesday at noon. That's about that's all I can do, PO, to deliver on $100 billion worth of. No. But I do think one thing that's worth getting into once we finish wrap is to discuss what is potentially worth getting that dipped, or that maybe still is a little bit suppressed because the money came out of Cool Cat. People clearly sold Cool Cats. Elizabeth in our Discord and a bunch of other people pointed that out. I don't think many people sold Dzuki or Beans, but
I don't think Cool Cats got cool pets already,
and that's really it. One or two, because I had extra ETH once I sold my Moonbird, so I had to get, you know me, I can't just not put ETH back into NFTs and then complain about not having liquidity. That's my whole lifestyle. But so I bought a couple cool pets. I already flipped them, but I would like to buy something low right now.
I don't think Cool Cats dropped though because of people trying to buy from Moonbirds. I think it dumped because they had a bad optic situation. They doubled their royalty fees from 2.5% to 5%, and I think the community didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's layers there. I wouldn't be surprised if a kind of side reason was to get some liquidity for this. Signal also DM'd me just now and said that I could trade my Mega Aku for one of these. And that's actually look, number one, I don't want to sell my Mega Aku. That was
for a Moonbird. That's what you're doing now?
That's a bad trade.
I'm not going to do it because there's so few of the Mega Akus. But here's the question that you come up with when you start to think about that trade is you look at Aku, which is a collectible. And Jesse always says, hey, it's not going to be a TV show. It's not going to be a movie. And Wappy said the funniest quote ever, which is, it's a XYZ NFT project is a PFP project that's going to be a TV show, except wait, no, it's not going to be a TV show, which I think is hilarious and true. But Aku is the first NFT project that was actually commissioned for a major motion picture with a serious studio. So it is going to actually be a fucking movie. Right.
Yeah. But that's the exception that proves the rule. Same with Huxley, right? That still proves kind of, I think, the general point about the market. I totally agree. I would say, I know you're not going to trade that Aku. That's like your whole, You basically have to retire if you do that. But I would.
No, I'm not doing that.
It makes sense to.
Sold my Moonbird.
It would.
No, you didn't.
No, I'm just fucking around.
It would make sense to UPO to diversify a little bit out of or someone in your situation, you could justify because you're still going to have, I'm assuming, a lot of other liquidity in Aku. And then you diversify to something that's a little more, because I like to have stuff in different categories. And then you have something in this finance world category. I know you're not going to do it, but it's the same thing as Nick selling. He's still invested in Ape. So I like the trade out of, okay, I have so much money in this one project. Here's a different category. Let me diversify a little bit in these absurd NFTs, at least to the extent that I can.
Let's be clear, though. This is going to go down from where I just bought at. Like, I'm very confident.
No, it's going to the moon, man. It's going to the absolute moon. It's going to take over everything. We've done enough talking about Moonbirds. I think we all agree Moonbirds going to be the next project to break 50 ETH, probably sooner than most people think. So now we can move on and think about what are the other plays out there, especially if there's a lot of liquidity generated from all this Moonbird stuff. I'll tell you what, man, World of Woman is kind of in the gutter right now. 6.9 ETH on World of Woman, the Galaxy down at 1.1. We'll have to see where that goes. But there's been some big wins. Of course, we talked about Akutar getting up to 3 ETH. I mean, that's bonkers. Pia, what a win for you and everyone else that holds that.
It's just getting started, dude. It's not going to stop. And I'm not just saying that. Like, you know, I've been holding this thing since February 2021. It's just not going to stop.
Do you still have all 37 of your Akutars?
I haven't sold a single asset ever, and I'm really torn on whether I sell anything, but this pump is just going to be unholy going into Wednesday. The move that I could have done, Jesse, just to wrap up on what you were talking about, is Saturday night is when price discovery really started on the OG Akutars, because they were trading at like 1 ETH above the floor, which is ridiculous because they're, you know, the rare ones. Then they went on an absolute run to like 4 plus ETH, and I have 3 of them. So I could have sold one of those and 2 of the regular ones and then just took liquidity from other places and bought a Moonbird at like 12 or 13. Hindsight's 20/20, but at the same time, I don't want to sell any of these Akutars. Like, this is the most badass project.
And again, this is another case of precedent, not really. Maybe you told everybody, like, don't FOMO in 10 minutes before the snapshot. But it turned out
it was actually a good idea to literally FOMO in before the snapshot.
It would have worked. I had one. The good thing for me, like, I had it kept on Nifty Gateway. I literally couldn't. This is how dumb I am. I couldn't even find it, which was good because I couldn't sell it. So I never sold it. Of course, once I took my Akutar off and put it on OpenSea and I could see it in my wallet, I immediately sold it for like 1.9, like an idiot. But that is, again, it's like very hard to fight your own sort of mental practices. You need these kind of forcing functions if you can. Like, literally, for me, I probably need to put more stuff in my hidden wallet if I want to keep it, because my brain is always looking for profits. And so it really, even though I talk all the time about fighting, you know, all these whatever it is, you know, mental sort of issues we have with trying to fight our instincts. Like, it's really, really hard for me if I see something that I can take a profit on and not sell it.
Yeah. And real quick, just to acknowledge a couple things that I want to throw to some of these speakers that have been waiting with their hands raised. Bert from our Discord, who is one of our paid mods, and I respect the hell out of Bert's trading and NFT market, you know, kind of thoughts and just his strategies. He said that he would sell his Mega Aku for 3 Bored Ape Kennel Dogs in a heartbeat. Bert, I couldn't disagree with you more. I think that is a ridiculous proposition. Look at the supply of the Mega Akus versus the Kennel Dogs. There's just no way I would ever do that. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's just it. And by the way, Micah Johnson's going to come on the show tomorrow to talk about the Akutar. So that's going to be very exciting.
Acropolis 1.1 ETH floor.
Damn.
Just wanted to sneak that one in there.
What is it?
1.15 ETH floor. Acropolis.
Is that high or low?
That's high. Paper Hands GG guy. This is the top right here. My guy Paper D told me a few weeks ago in Paper D Smart Money that he's all in on Acrocalypse. He had bought them early at like 0.3, and then he just turned around and bought another one at like 0.9 or something. So like Acrocalypse, I think people think that's the real deal. We got Mr. Yellow on stage, who I got mad at before when I didn't understand that Shonen Junk was a good project, and he kept telling us to buy Shonen Junk. I was like, dude, you're just like shilling some bullshit here, and then I was just totally wrong. What's going on, Mr. Yellow?
Hey, mate, have you got in yet? Please tell me you've got
in. I'm not in Shonen Junk yet, no.
Mate, it's on a nice dip. Please buy into it. I'm going to say right now, I don't even like anime. I just backed the Crunchyroll team on this one, and I'm so super bullish about it. I was going to ask a question about them, actually, and is Jesse still? Yeah, Jesse's still here. Cool. So they announced at a space the other day, they were proposing that they go CC0 with the original Genesis collection. And I didn't know what people thought about that. Because initially I was like, oh God, we lose the IP and all this lot. And now I'm going, I think the Shonen Junk founders probably know what they're doing. So I've read a lot about it, but I don't know. What do people think? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? They're definitely at a good price right now. And if anyone wants some hints about the good value ones, just DM me. But yeah. What do people think about CC0?
I think Jesse probably has an opinion about that because of CC0 and Shonen Junk. Am I right, Jesse?
I mean, I think it's very, very case by case. I think it's wildly overrated in terms of if you're in this bubble of Web3 and Punk 615. There's a couple of people who are like Alan Hanna too, who are like, you know, CC0 is the future, and it's basically taking this freemium model, like open source, like because Web3 is open source tech. Fundamentally, like it's very much within the philosophy of that. We've talked about it before, so I don't want to go too much on a tangent. I think it's very, very case by case. I think it's dangerous. I've heard also that the project is simplified animation because they want a little more optionality in what they're going to do. That I like when I heard that, but I don't think for this project, I don't think if they're going to build, they want to build like the Web3 event. They want to build like really like the next anime super metaverse project. Of course, everybody does. And so I think they want it to be as simple and fluid as possible. And so maybe it's, you know, I think maybe they can deliver on it, but I don't think it's some automatic, oh, it's CC0. So everybody can copy it and it'll become a meme. And then once it becomes a meme, we're going to profit off that. That to me is way too simple. So I think it's very case by case. It's hard to say for Shonen Junk, but they're probably at least put some thought into it.
Wappy, you have your hand raised. What are you thinking, man?
I was just going to go through what is going on the rest of this week.
Let's go.
So, I guess the first thing is Bungie has something on 420. So, you know, everybody recently has been bitching about art and if there's any utility for art and artists need support and blah, 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 blah. Well, Brendan Murphy is letting you take 4 Bungies, burn them, and take the traits that you want out of it. So this is an art experience that I think.
Really quick, to be clear, that's a collectibles project by an artist, right? And so, yes. You know, that's cool that he's doing that and everything. I want to actually quickly just shout out the actual, like, fine artists in the space, especially trailblazers like Hackatow, who's in the crowd right now. Shout out to Hackatow and the different trailblazers that kind of got us to the place that we're at now. And, yeah, don't ask those artists for utility because that's just not what it is. And I just want to throw that out there. Go ahead, Wappy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a balance here when we talk about this stuff, because the artists are definitely right. They are the product, and like you should be wanting to buy into some of this stuff. And if you bought a canvas from somebody, you wouldn't immediately expect a market and exit liquidity and all this other stuff and utility from a canvas. So like those guys who are doing that, like, you know, if that's how they want to brand themselves, I think that's fine. But there are some other people who I think are going to come into the space and are going to actually try to use the tech to do some more with it than just being a collectibles project. I think Brendan has received like a lot of criticism because, you know, everybody focuses on why am I not rich? Why is the floor not up? And so I think he's tried. I think that's, you know, weighed on his shoulders quite a bit. And he's trying to figure out things that he can actually do. So is this going to be bullish for the project? I have no idea. But what they're doing is they're burning Bungies. They're giving you an experience. They're letting you customize art. And then the tail end of this is they're starting like a collector program where the more stuff that you kind of have within his punch card, the closer it gets you to getting like a one-of-one custom piece from him down the road. So that's coming. Then you've got 10KTF on Thursday. Figgy is actually speaking. If you
10KTF, one ETH floor, baby. One ETH floor right now.
Oh,
go ahead.
I need to go delist some stuff then. If you don't know who Figgy is, this is like a Kevin Rose thing. You need to go do your research on this team. Go look at the Wii New team. Go look at who these guys are and their backgrounds. Go look at who Figgy is. Go look at Guy Oseri. go look at how he's connected to BAYC, and then let's look at like what's supposed to happen with other sides this week. I believe it's BAYC 1 year birthday this week. Other sides is expected pretty soon. Everybody's looking at land. I'm telling you, the alpha is get a coda.
Yeah, WAPI is going to, I mean, excuse me, 10KTF's going to, I mean, it's just getting started, man. It's kind of crazy. I can't believe how much of a pump we've kind of seen. And shout out to WAPI. WAPI is the first person that told us about 10KTF. Obviously, there have been other champions along the way, like Bert, like Swills, my buddy Danny Metapunk. He's absolutely one of the champions. But the first person that brought us 10KTF was WAPI. Nifty Nick, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
That was from an earlier comment. I don't have anything to say anymore outside of really enjoying my Moonbird. It's making me feel warm inside.
The utility thing, it ties in somewhat to the CCO thing because I totally disagree with, like, the medium is the message. We're in a new medium. This is not a canvas. So if you're an artist and you think, I'm just going to put what I put on a canvas into a PFP and now it's digital art, no one cares. No one cares. It's a different medium. It's a different market. And so I agree. I understand why Drift in particular is pissed because people are like, he had just sold his open edition. And like the whole point of an open edition is, right, you give access to anybody at a decent price point. And people are like, when utility? I get that. But there are ways to do both. And I think like Jake the D-Gen, for example, is one who is a digital artist who had a coin. And he's basically, he had this coin, which was 0.5. And I'm like, why would I get this coin for 0.5? But the coin basically gives you, he does one piece of art every month and you get access to that for free. You get an airdrop every 3 months or whatever through that coin. And I think using different business models like that, if you're not thinking about, if people want utility, then you need to give them utility. And if people, if this was just an art market, none of this stuff, like Drift stuff would not be worth $1 million. It'd be literally like one fraction of 1%. If people really just wanted to buy your digital JPEG and have it on their phone, it wouldn't be worth anything. So people need to just think of this as a completely new independent medium and market.
Yeah. And real quick on the 10KTF front, since we were just talking about it, I didn't realize how real things had gotten in the 10KTF stockroom world. I just pulled it up. The supply squeeze thesis that we had come up with many months ago, at this point, probably 7 or 8 months ago, when we were on that YouTube video and we were the only people buying the 10KTF stockroom assets, has basically been fully realized. Like, this is insane. The thread is trading at 0.65. The last sale was 0.75. The cloth's at 0.24. The leather's, the rubber's at 0.65. Kix, you're about to sell something. I can't believe how this has manifested so accurately.
Yeah, I just think that we live in a beautiful world where I'm selling digital tightly wound thread spool for $2,000 that I bought 5 months ago for $200. I'm definitely selling digital wool when it's worth $2,000. I think it's a good spot to sell.
You're probably going to regret it, let's be real, because 10KTF's just getting started. It seems like easy. You have your hand raised. What's going on?
Wait, hold on one sec. Easy. He didn't get his voice in, unfortunately. Sorry. Cut you off there. The one thing I was going to say is, look, if Moonbirds are worth 20 ETH, think what our PFP project's going to be worth, and then look at the price of the portals. That's all that I'm saying. You got to look at the Nifty portal. Like, that's all I'm thinking. I'm like, what's the trade here? The trade is portals. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, disclaimer, not financial advice. I own a bunch of them and run am responsible in the running of this project. But I'm just saying, who's Kevin Rose, you know? Like, who's that?
I do want to shout you guys out for the portals. They're looking really nice on that floor price, and I'm a big holder, and I'm wishing I bought twice as many. But
Everyone that, you know, at Mint, everyone's wishing they bought umpteenth as many because we're a 3X from Mint, but we got a lot more work to do. But appreciate the shout-out.
Again? I can't find it.
Sorry?
How do you spell 10KTF again? I can't find it.
10KTF just announced they're going to launch a Moonbirds sweatshirt or hoodie.
The top is so in.
The top's in on what? On 10KTF?
It looks so good.
Moonbirds.
Oh, on Moonbirds.
Yo, dude, don't get out of here.
I hope so, because I want to buy another at a lower price.
Yeah,
the Moonbird Tony looks so good. I'm gonna go make mine right now. That's why I'm trying to find their website.
Wait, you can actually make it right now?
Well, yeah. You is crafting open? I don't even know.
Anyways. About to find out, bro.
About to find out. Well, Easy. I feel like Easy wanted to say something, and we rugged him hard. What's going on, Easy?
No, it wasn't anything major. The Moonbird's artist actually's first project was on Solana called Grim Syndicate. And it pumped last night from 4 to 15 SOL. So it seems like everybody just wants exposure to anything that has to do with anything Moonbird. There's no backing from Kevin Rose or that other guy who's on the team that doesn't value money, but they are in fact confirmed that the artist is there. So it's a little bit interesting. I mean, everyone knows my thoughts here about it. I still think the top is in. SOL did have record volume again this weekend, so I'm having a ton of fun over here. I'm glad you guys are enjoying your gas fees. I hope you all have a great day.
The 10K ATF Discord wanted to clarify that crafting is not open. So whoever wanted to go craft things is totally wrong. That's fascinating, Easy. Why didn't you tell us sooner that the artist behind Moonbirds had a Solana project already?
Because I was buying them.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Jesse, did you raise your hand for a second?
No, I do think some of these projects that were mentioned, sometimes the alpha on this show comes in low-key ways. And, I mean, Shonen Junk is very low. It's back down to 1.2. The Hackatao.
0.12.
1.28. And, yeah, I agree I think Portals is a buy at this point, even though it sounds ridiculous on this show.
What do you mean it sounds ridiculous, Jesse? You're betting on a quality team.
Yeah, it seems all right. You know.
Silicon Valley's former finest.
Well, shit. I mean, yeah, like, well, Depeche Mode put us in his top 10, so I'm happy about that. Top 10 buys under one ETH, which, I mean, look, I agree with that.
You guys showed up in a TikTok top 5 YouTubers to follow in my TikTok feed. So, you know, maybe there's something happening here.
Did we really? Please, give me more flattery.
I thought all along from the beginning that this whole show was just a cover to see a competition to see who could get canceled first, me or Kix. But then neither of us got canceled.
Well, and then we started in on that competition.
Yeah,
and it was
to
very
build the
clear.
Business around it once people kept listening. That's what I thought happened.
Yeah, you thought we would get canceled. But nope, we've tested every approach to actually getting canceled. And so far, unsuccessful. Now, PO is going to be really excited to hear about some of the upcoming ways that I'm going to attempt to have us canceled. And see if that actually is really successful for the business. But, you know, you got to test everything is what I like to say.
No, we don't. I don't like, just to give everyone an idea, one night I was like eating my dinner and it was a Monday evening, actually, a few Mondays ago. And I was literally like, okay, cool. I'm going to make a pitch deck for a potential sponsor later this evening. Like that was my big plan for Monday night was literally like Microsoft PowerPoint. And then Nick just goes, I'm going to run with this rumor. And I was like, okay. And then my night literally got turned upside down. Very, very different than what I had planned.
PO's very sensitive. I mean, it's understand you're sensitive to fake news being distributed, but it wasn't fake news at the moment when I said it. You see, like, it got verified as false after I had spread that information. The rumor
to like 10,000 people.
Well, that came from, let's be clear, it came from actual sources that we had spoken to, two separately distinct sources. I'm not lying about that component. Right. And so if you hear that same thing twice, you got to just run with it. And then that information, you know, that's what, as my journalism professor always taught me, who gives a fuck about verifying your sources?
Wappy, what's going on? You got your hand raised.
Did your former journalist professor work for CNN? And
wow.
The thing that I said that I think went under the radar, and I just want to say it again, when Bored Ape Land launches, you want land, but the real alpha is Snipe a Coda. And so I want to know
what is a coda? Can you explain?
Can you tell us all what the coda is? Because you keep saying it. The Discord keeps saying, well, I don't know. Captain Kick says it's the land.
In all the Bored Ape promos, there was that like little creature that looks like better than like a cool cat and an alien friend that's floating around.
Yeah.
That's the coda. That's the Yugo character.
Yeah, I didn't say it was the land. I said it was like associated with the land. Like some people that meant
land.
So
how do you get it?
I think some people that mint land, they're going to get like a coda airdrop as well.
The code is in the land. It's buried in the land.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
but I think it's
them.
A separate NFT.
It's going to go on secondary, and you want to snipe that bitch before everybody realizes what the fuck it is.
Yeah. I think
it's
that's
not out there yet, right?
No, it's going to come when the land is dropped. That's what I was saying. Like, it's attached to the land.
It sounds like the next trade is for me to sell my moon bird by the land. That's what you're telling me?
Exactly.
That would be the icing on the cake for sure. No, but I mean, look, everyone was talking about getting ready for, you know, the Bored Ape land. And then it turns out that what everyone had to get ready for was, you know, the Moonbirds, obviously. But yeah, I mean, those codas are probably going to be a pretty big deal. Wappy, do you have any opinion on the Benji Bananas NFT that came out through Yuga Labs?
I don't.
Okay. All right, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, I think the coda, people have known that it's about the coda. I'm going to be interested to see what percentage of the land has codas and what they, you know, are trading for right out the gate. But yeah, that's going to be pretty damn fascinating to see how it plays out. I'm going to cycle some of these speakers out. So I'm going to let some people that have been patiently waiting come to the stage. I just let Adam, who is apparently in New York City real estate and has a meta hero. Yeah, Adam, what's going on?
I'm good. I'm good, Wappy. Just coping with the fading moonbirds as like everyone else. But with that comes a bit of perspective, and you just look at other places where you can FOMO your ETH into. So something that I'm looking at, and obviously a bit biased with the profile pick, is the Pixel Vault. So G-Funk has started to really start saying he's going to melt faces after all his travels. He's been a bit quiet. Part of the Pixel Vault ecosystem is that since Beanie left, they wanted to do like a bit of a reset and not sort of have all this like hype FOMO without having the product to back it up. So it looks that whether it's this week or next, they're on the mint pass two, there is the 428. 2052 basically in the sort of lore, everyone's speculating that's when the mint pass two is going to be able to be redeemed for the sidekicks. But what play I've done is I took the ETH that I wanted to put into me into Moonbirds and put it into multiple Pixel Vault founders DAOs. This is like seems to be the baby of the Pixel Vault ecosystem. And last time there was rumors, it ran from about 3 ETH to just over 7. That was just on rumors alone. So I feel like
what's it at now?
It like last night I picked up another one for 2.4.
Oh, wow.
Today it's at 3.3, and so I think that this has, again, if there's any hype in this project, there is people with ETH wanting to invest into it. So last time we saw this run up to about 7, I feel like if there's any like actual hype on this one, it's gonna hit that again. So that's my play, is trying to get a 2-3 ETH play to around sort of 7. That would be my exit on this one. That's just seems to be the top on the Pixel Vault founders DAO, unless you want to be inclusive included in it. But yeah,
and that's the token that you received for Burning Punk's comic, which was an early mechanic that I believe was implemented by Beanie, but kind of became the staple of early Pixel Vault. Pixel Vault's overdue for a pump. I think that that's great. I mean, that entry at 2.4 from last night, that's fantastic. You must be feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, I think any kind of DAOs it seems to be a pretty like tough investment. Like people don't really understand how to get like the value extracted from it unless it's like some sort of governance token. And that's obviously a thing that people want to get in the Pixel Vault founders DAO as well. But I just think that at 2.4 with the team and the fact that G-Funk is saying that he wants to come back and melt faces and have the product to back it up once the announcement happens, I'm maybe foolishly, I'm just backing him and trusting him. So I think that anything at this price on the founders DAO is very cheap. So happy to buy a few more on these ones.
Yeah, there's definitely worse teams that you can back in the space. They've got a ton of resources, a ton of experience, and just a track record. So interesting to see what comes of that.
No, I do have like a DGEN play. This one is on Starcatchers. It's look, there's obviously we've been chatting a lot this morning about utility and everything like that. They have had like a massive tough run on one of their founders actually being like a crook and shady, and got kicked off from their team, went to another team, Boki, got kicked off that team, and they have had like a massive massive flood, and rightfully so. But the thing is, like, they had a lot of their funds locked up for 4 years. Maurice, like the founder, has been like very active in trying to like work through that. 420, they have a big announcement, and the speculation is the lead artist that they brought on, Ariel, who seems to be loved in the industry from like people in the Juice Box world, from the Cool Cats world, from like Losers, all those sort of artistic projects really seem to love her. My daughter also seems to love her as well. And like, it looks like they're going to basically create a new project with her artwork, and go away from like the current artwork to like really distance themselves from the Butrick sort of like stale FUD stuff. And on top of that, I feel like they've got a few other key announcements to make then. So the floor on that was like 2.22. So based on that, I feel like they could get a bit of a run, and I don't know, it could be a quick 2x'er from 420.
You never know. I like the Pixel Vault play better, if I'm being fully transparent, but you do never... Sorry, what was that?
No, me too. That one, that's why I said DJ and play. It's like... Can they divert the FUD away from that and sell the new artwork? 100%. That's why it's DJing. I would 100% put more money into Pixel Vault every day of the week.
Yeah. Nick, you were going to add something there? What was that?
I don't even remember. That was so long ago. You know, it's awesome when I, you know, it just rambles on, you know. I'm over here actually selling other NFTs to cover the costs and get back into ApeCoin. That's actually what I'm doing. But I'm holding my Moonbird. The floor will go down here. I did call in the top, and I just want everyone to know that. We put that, just make sure that that's really emphasized as we put that on wax. And now everyone knows I'm a top buyer.
Okay. I let a new speaker on stage, Basil. Basil Amin, it looks like. Basil, it says that you're a heart surgeon. Is that correct?
Yeah, I worked in heart surgery for 2 years in my home country. And right now in Germany, I'm working in internal medicine and neurology.
Wow. So let me ask you just a quick doctor question. If you're like a heart surgeon, can you have like a glass of wine the night before a surgery? Is that like a thing, or do you have to be stone cold sober?
I mean... it's preferred not to, because it wouldn't be a huge problem, but it's preferred not to because it will be metabolized into the liver. And when you're going to the heart surgery the day after, all the, how do you call it? Narcosa. I'm starting to forget English words.
You're getting technical.
Pio, hold on. This is a weird question. You're asking if he can have a glass of wine before he performs the surgery, correct?
Or just any, like, I don't, you know, I think what, about...
Where is that coming from? You got some impending surgery that I'm unaware of?
No, it's more like, look, so my job is to sit here and talk in front of a microphone like a jackass. You know, that's my job. A heart surgeon's job is they go into like an operating room and they cut a human being open and they start stitching up the heart or whatever you're doing, you know? Like, can you smoke marijuana if that's your job? Like, how does that work?
actually, me personally, I have never smoked marijuana before an operation. But I heard from a friend of mine, she's a nurse, that there was this guy, it was his first. So usually when you're studying surgery, you're not allowed from the first day, the first week, the first months. Sometimes it lasts a year until they allow you to, you know, to try to do something, even if it's just using the needle to close up the skin. So there was this guy, he's been waiting for like 2 years. And it was like just a regular break before any operation. He was like, fuck it, I'm not going to get my role today. So he went outside with this nurse, who is a friend of mine. And they smoked one, I think. And when he got back, they told him, okay, it's your chance. It's your moment to shine.
Wow.
And what happened? So that guy, I think, he didn't smoke that much, but he smoked good enough to... you know, to remove the stress, and he performed perfectly. And from that day on, he performs every day.
Wow, so now he performs every day. Stoned?
Weed?
No, not stone. No. Oh. It was just
okay. No, I didn't know. That's kind of the same thing. One time, Captain Kicks, he ate like a marijuana edible right before we went on YouTube.
Wow! And thanks for throwing that out there.
He was just totally wrecked. And then when we finished, he was like, "I got another interview now with like a team that's in another country or something like that." So like, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like YouTube podcast versus cutting open.
It's kind of different for me personally. I wouldn't be able to do it because seriously, it's like you're wearing sometimes, those magnifying glasses, and you need to be very stable. You need to be very concentrated. And come on, it's a person's life. So yeah, for me, I would never, and I have never, even if there was no operation, even just regular, going to the hospital, because man, there are drugs you have to change for the patients. There are things you have to look at. And sometimes one word on a patient's report, it might change his whole life. So yeah, for me, no, never. But yeah, hey, cool question.
And just as a heads up, if you do smoke weed, just don't do it around Pio, because what he's going to do is tell literally everybody about it. So you're going to want to watch out for that one, especially if you're going into heart surgery.
So Basil, we've talked about your professional career as a doctor, very respectable profession, and that you prefer to do surgery under the influence of marijuana. What sort of NFT related stuff did you want to talk about? I love how you're just like, I never said that. No, you said it, Basil. You said it. Anyway, what NFT stuff do you want to talk about?
So there was some kind of, I'm not going to call it a heated discussion, but kind of controversial topic about the whole Moonbirds thing. And they were comparing it to other projects. Some, there was it was already known by everyone, / already known by everyone in the inner circle. Or they were saying, yeah, it was just, it's just pumping right now. It's not going to last. I was with a part of the people who didn't have any idea about it, or even with a proof, I didn't have any idea, because I get my information from the people, in the space. Like, I know a few people here. For example, there's Vicky. There are multiple people I've built connections with since I started, like, in the summer. But I never had any clue about this whole thing. And in one day, 2 days, they just appeared on Twitter. The floor is pumping. So it was the heated discussion this morning. So what do you think?
I mean, it sounds juicy. I brought Depeche Mode on stage too, because I love listening to content creators and people that write about the NFT space. And I think I saw a tweet from you. Did you buy Moonbirds, Depeche?
I did. Yeah. So I made the choice of buying one at 8.6 yesterday, or yeah, whenever that was. To me, I just felt like it was an obvious play. My new thesis is that as the space is maturing, we have to you really just can only bet on teams now. Like, it's hard to bet on vibes, which I've certainly done in the past, but like Kevin Rose, the one thing, he's like one of the only people that has been in the NFT space for like well over a year, and is like a big deal outside of the space. So I was like, screw it. This thing's going to go into double digits no matter what. So if I can get it in single digits, no matter how painful, I'm going to do it. So you're saying
this is going straight to 50?
Hey, it went straight to 20. That's like that totally wins. I mean, I've already won. I should sell it now, now that you bought it, Nick. That'd be great.
Yeah, and then buy back in once it goes down lower.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be an inevitable drop, right? But I mean, I really don't think it's going below 10 ever again, but I could be, of course, wrong. I've been wrong many times before.
I'd buy back in again at 10 ETH. I'm down to do it one more time.
That sounds really good. 10 ETH is like low. But so Depeche, like, or should I call you Node? So like, what do you make of just everything? Like, you just kind of touched upon your thesis that you can just bet on teams. We've got the Yuga Labs land sale coming up. That seems like it's going to be pretty big. But like, when you look at some of these projects where it's an artist trying to get into collectibles, because that's kind of a good way for artists to onboard into the NFT space at this point, right? If they don't already have a reputation as a one-of-one artist, or somebody that just sells fine art, you're seeing these people come in as a collectibles collection, like that Lobstars project. Do you think that's going to become harder and harder to be able to pull off?
Yeah, I do. And I think you know, my other big thesis from the beginning, from like since I started, that has sort of served me well, is that all value accrues to the top, right? So all the best projects take up all the liquidity, take up, you know, they're the ones that kind of skyrocket. And so that's why I bought a Punk, you know, like was one of my very first purchases a little over a year ago. And the, you know, that thesis sort of played out until it turns out that they were not in fact the top that Yugo was. So then I bought an ape and paper handed it, of course. So I do think that as scarce as liquidity is, I think the attention is the bigger issue, right? So there's only so many places that people can focus on and put their attention on. So right now it's all going to be on apes and on Moonbirds. And then, you know, I actually agree with the Pixel Vault talk here earlier as well. Like, I've met those guys. They seem super sharp. So I'm like, I'm not going to fade them either. So I basically own one of everything there. But I do, I think it's hard. I think it's going to be harder and harder. Like there was an artist. I got a buddy that introduced me to this project called, what was it? Seek, like the Chosen Ones NFT. Yeah. And apparently he's like a great artist, you know, and I liked his stuff. So I picked one up and it's a super cheap, you know, it's still super cheap. But the, you know, like they kind of struggled to gain traction. I think they made some mistakes on their kind of tokenomics and how they launched the project. But still, like I chatted with one of their kind of project leads, and they're doing a great job, like doing collabs and everything. But you know, kind of a tricky thing to try and launch like a several thousand piece collection based purely on the art and not a PFP. So, you know, I think you got to get more creative or maybe even just focus directly on, is this art, right? Like, am I going to just try and do something like that's art? If so, man, better keep that to a smaller number, of what you're trying to launch, and really try to appeal to that community. But the reality is right now the meta narrative is not art, right? It's about the utility, the communities that are being built. So that's the other thing I definitely took away from Kobe, you know, the CT god, is that, you know, he just tries to look at what's happening in terms of the meta narrative, like what's happening right now, where's all the attention, and he does not fade what that is doing. So that's kind of what I've been trying to do lately.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. When I look at my wallet of what I bought in the past few weeks, I see a bunch of Vayner sports passes. I see that Lyrical Lemonade carton, which is absolutely a utility play as well. I see the Pre-Mint collector pass. That's a utility play. I see the Look Labs game key. The Look Labs game key, the Pre-Mint collector's pass, and the Vayner sports pass all basically look identical. So it's clear what sort of meta is happening right now. And when you throw Moonbirds on top of it, it's still absolutely happening. In the next month, we're probably going to see more utility passes that actually end up flopping, right? Because every time, you know, people look back and they're like, damn, all those utility passes or, you know, whatever trend is pumping, then people think that it's going to keep going. And that's when you end up getting wrecked. You know, you buy in too late.
Oh, for sure. And again, this goes back to the attention thing. There's only so much utility to go around, right? So well, you've got the Nifty Portal, like, you know, you've got the Pre-Mint, you've got all these things. Everybody's trying to do deals and collabs with, and there's only a limited number of things that everybody wants, right? So I think you're right. We're definitely going to see saturation there, and plenty of them flop when they can't deliver. And if it's purely based on utility, then you better deliver quick and often. So
someone just randomly DM'd me. I've done zero verification of it, but this person just DM'd me and said Moonbirds airdropping tokens.
Yeah, I got that message as well from same that here. Same person. And
I bet, is he trying to scam us?
He's trying to get us to talk about it.
Well, Project High Rise, we don't know when that's going to come out, but Project High Rise is going to be.
I'm not buying into any of this metaverse bullshit.
Well, when that comes out, a token's going to come out, is what I've heard. So I don't think this is like imminent, but I think in the future, it's something they're considering.
This metaverse is going to the moon. They have a token associated with it. Yeah, I mean,
that's crazy.
This one, we're all going to be playing in.
Can't wait to play in that metaverse with you, Nick. All right. Well, hey, this was a great show. We talked about Moonbirds in depth. Thank you to all of our wonderful speakers. We had a doctor on stage today. That was really cool. Had a bunch of moonbirds flocking. You know, we talked about
This guy is trying to scam people. He just told me it's on Instagram, bro. you can get 15,000 scam moonbird tokens if you want to. I can put you in touch. So just let me know.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, yeah. So as always, this content was sponsored by FTX, ladies and gentlemen. Check out the nifty.com/FTX to sign up on your web browser. Sign up on the mobile app with the code the nifty. You can buy Ethereum and other cryptocurrency for super cheap, and you have gasless transactions on all NFT purchases. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern. And it is all about NFT market and trade discussion. Our NFT is pinned to the top so that you can continue the degeneracy in our Discord with our lively community all week. We also do an NFT pick'em in there, DraftKings and FanDuel style, where you don't have to risk any money, but you can make picks on what NFTs are going to do best by the end of the week and win Ethereum or NFT prizes. We're also getting poker games going. We're doing a bunch of stuff. Keep checking us out.